10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, here comes the. Here comes the. Here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like.
Let's talk. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And today, y'all, we have another outstanding show planned for you. And the topic of the show will be, when does a parent's responsibility end? Good question, huh? I think so. Hey, I always think they're all good questions, right? Anyway, hey, it's Tuesday, January the 8th, 2013. Yeah, 2013, y'all. And I am your host, Eric Jackson. And today we have a great show. And I hope y'all ready for it. Because y'all know what? I'm ready for it. Now, you know, as we always do every day, if you want to join in the conversation, that is no problem. Just give me a call at 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join me in the chat room. Just go to your local social media site. Hey, sign in. And, you know, join me in the chat room there or catch me on Twitter at driven4forlife62. You can catch me there. And I have a Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Hey, go ahead and drop me a couple of notes down there also. If you want to hear a topic you want me to talk about, a schedule so we can talk about it, hey, just go there and let me know. Hit me on my Facebook page. Hit me in, you know, chat room. Whatever, just get to me, man. We'll talk about it. Hey, call me and tell me. I'll write it down. We'll put it on the air then also. All right? So now, let's see. Hey, I don't know how the weather is where y'all. It's kind of rainy here. So if you hear, you have a couple little difficulties, hey, understand it's not me. It's the weather, okay? And since it's the weather, I have no control of that. Hey, I asked him. He said he'll do what he can do. That's all I can do. Kind of, right? Right. All right, y'all. So, let's see. What are we going to talk about starting off? Because, you know, before we really get into the nitty-gritty and we wait for the, and we wait for the council, so-called, to get here, you know, there's certain other things that we talk about before we get there. Let's see. What are we going to talk about? Okay. Let's see. We had a great conversation. We had a great show yesterday, y'all. You know, sometimes you have to go back and listen to what's going on and find out just exactly what's going on with your show. And I listened to it, man. And you know what? I had a great show yesterday. I ain't gonna lie. We had a good show yesterday, y'all. It was banging. It was banging. And you know what? The show was so good yesterday, man. I tell you, I almost wanted to go back and do it all over again. But I decided not to because today is a new day, right? Right. All right. All right, and you know, at the top of the show yesterday, we had a young man on our show named Mr. Goofy Bone. All right, now Mr. Goofy Bone, you know, I had never heard of the guy, and you know, he came on here making some nice little, statements about, you know, this type of lifestyle that he lives. And he also actually said, you know, I almost can compare him, try to compare him to Wilt Chamberlain with all the women he talking about he done slept with, right? The young man. But anyway, so, you know, he did make a claim that, you know, he had been on Jenny Jones. Now, for some of us that know about Jenny Jones, you know, that's been a long time ago. I don't think Jenny Jones had a talk show for at least 5-6 years. So, you know, I've been trying to find that. And right now I haven't been able to find that episode of Jenny Jones. So, but I have found some a MySpace page for Mr. Bones, where, you know, he's got music videos and things like that out. But, you know, and as a host of a show, I think it is my responsibility when someone comes on to a show and makes certain claims such as those that he did yesterday, you know, I think it is the host's responsibility to kind of investigate and really find out if it is what it is. You know, just so, you know, your listeners know, you know, you're not just bringing anybody coming on the show. Well, I still haven't found it, so I'm still looking, though. So if any of y'all out there, you know, should happen to run up on the show with Jenny Jones with Mr. Goofy Bones on it, hey, send me, let me know, all right? Because we got to figure this one out. All right, now, since I have all that great stuff out the way, hey, y'all, what's going on out there? How y'all doing? How's the weather over there where y'all are? I know, like I said, it's cold here. I mean, it's rainy and kind of chilly, so, hey, it is what it is, right? Yeah, I know. So, we're going to be all right. Okay, now, like we do before, we always get into the rest of the show, and, you know, the council shows up for, you know, our annual, you know, get down, like we always do. Hey, let's talk about some things beforehand, okay? And there are a few things that I do want to talk about that's going on. You know, lately there's been this big push about weapons, okay? And, you know, there have been a lot of cases where guns have you know, become the top issue. Well, I found a story the other day where that stated that the White House is considering a broader U.S. gun control. Okay? So they're thinking about really doing something that's a little bit different from what it used to was. Hey, Jay Works, I see you out there. Thank you for joining me today. Okay? And basically what the government is trying to do now is you know, we already know they're trying to reinstate a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, okay? But in doing a little twist, you know, a group, you know, led by the vice president, which would require, universal background checks to track the movement and sale of weapons through national databases, you know, and a way to actually strengthen the mental health checks and stiffen penalties for carrying guns near schools or giving them to minors. Now, this is interesting because the law is actually backed by enforcement leaders. So it said, you know, so, and, you know, the White House is trying to get this done. But, of course, you know, you have that big bad wolf out there called the NRA, the National Rifle Association. It's not, you know, they're not trying to have this going on with these weapons. You know, I think, honestly, here's the kick to this. Okay, yes, the Second Amendment says everybody, you know, we are allowed to bear arms. But come on, y'all, let's be sensible about this thing. Common sense. Just because you need a gun, don't mean you need to have a certain type of gun. You understand what I'm saying? You know, all guns, I'm not going to say all guns, but assault weapons and things like that, 30 and 40 round magazines, that has no place in anybody's home. I don't care who the hell you are. You know, if you need that kind of stuff, then you know what? You basically living the wrong type of life. I'm just gonna put it out there. You're just living the wrong type of life. You are. And if that's the case, that kind of life you want to live, no problem. Take your ass over there to Afghanistan. You can use that weapon over there without any problems whatsoever. If you're crazy as hell, no problem. They got a place for you over there, too. It's called the Mountains. That's right. It's called the Mountains. You can go out there and fight with the Taliban. You know, shoot up any jokers as you want to. I'm sure won't too many people complain, as long as it's the right people, right? I mean, if you just got to have them. That's I know, that's kind of far out there, but it's the truth. It really is. Who the hell needs a semi-automatic weapon in your house? I mean, come on now. Who needs one to hunt? Heck. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. Let's be honest with it. It's downright dumb. But anyway. So it is what it is. And you know, so the government's trying to do something. But, of course, you know, as it with everything, you have the lobbyists and whatever going to fight. So we'll have to see what's going on with this, with that story and how far we're going to go with it. Okay? All right. Once again, y'all, if y'all want to join in the conversation today, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. You're listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And, you know, today's topic is, here it comes. Today's topic is, when does a parent's responsibility stop? And you know what, I have put I have asked this question to a lot of people. You know, that's almost like should women run the government? But we ain't gonna go in that one right now. But anyway, let's see. I have one more interesting story before we get to our topic for today. And it is, let's see. Y'all gonna laugh at this one. But you know what? I think in some instances this should have been going on way before now. Okay, here we go. Bizarre dark whips and canes drug addicts to beat habit out of them. When all else fails to cure drug addicts, a doctor in Siberia has another method. Beat the crap out of them. Dr. German Filipenko's controversial new technique, which caused a breakthrough, involves administering searing whips and lashes to his patients' buttocks to help them overcome issues like sex and drug addiction, obsessions, and depression. The idea, he says, is to trigger the release of endorphins, a.k.a. happiness hormones, which many addicts lack. This, he believes, shall eliminate their need for vices. Patients pay about $99 a pop for a cane happy psychologist counseling / butt beating services. All right. You know what? I can't even argue with that one. What y'all think about that? You know what? It's funny because back in the day when you got caught with some things that you weren't supposed to get caught, what happened with you? You got your behind beat, right? Hey, I turned out all right because I'm sure got caught with some things I'm supposed to have in my possession. But, hey, it worked for me. That's what I'm saying. It worked for me. So, I mean, why not? Of course, this is in Siberia, you know, where they're not so politically correct. All right. I'm not trying to start nothing today, y'all. I promise. Promise I'm not trying to start nothing today. But you do have to admit, we are a little bit too politically correct. For some things to work in this country. And maybe that's our issue. You know, we're just a little bit too sensitive about certain things. Well, we need to man up, damn it. That's right, we need to man up on some things and just say, it is what it is, and we're going to handle it this way. But no, we got to make sure everybody is fine with it. We got to make sure nobody really gets hurt. But maybe we need to start hurting some people, damn it, to get a message across. Don't get me on that soapbox about that, okay? Because I don't have the counsel here to argue with about it. You know, because I think the laws here in the so-called United States of America are very, very lax compared to what they need to be. And I think we would stop some of this nonsense that's going on. But once again, that is just my opinion on what things should be like in this country, because some instances, we're just a bunch of whole suckers, you know? You got these people out here doing whatever the hell they want to do, and what we do, huh? We put them in jail, and they stay in jail for 300 years. Really? Well, we need to just eliminate them from the face there right then and send a message to everybody else. If you do this, this is what your punishment is going to be. Period. This is what your punishment is going to be. It's not going to be nothing where you sit in jail for 33 hours, or you going to sit in jail for of 10 years or no. You do something that's really wrong, your ass is out of here. And I mean, I'm just saying, y'all. See, I said don't get me on that. Okay, I'm still waiting on the council. They'll be here in a minute, I guess. But yeah, so that is my take on on that type of situation. And we're going to leave it at that. All right. Now, with that being said, let's move on to our next topic. Let's get on to with the show, man, because you know what? Y'all about to get me on this soapbox, and it's not going to be good. 704, I see you out there. Thank you for joining me today. Once again, you're listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And today, our topic is, when does a parent's responsibility end? And if it doesn't really end, Now, see, that's the question. I know some of y'all are like, well, how is it going to end? Because, you know, they still, I'm not talking about why they in the house, y'all. You know, I'm not talking about when they, why they living with you. Because, of course, you know, if they living with you, most of you feel like, yeah, we got a responsibility. But you know what? Let's talk about that part of it, too. Now, let's really say, if you got a kid living with you, now, they passed the age of 18. All right, now, they passed the age of 18, but they still living with you. Do you still have a responsibility as a parent to look out for them? Or even if they're grown and moved out, you know, they started their own little family or just moved out on their own. As a parent, is there still a responsibility that you owe that child? Do you really have a responsibility to them once they move out of the house and start their own lives? I want to know. This is some of the questions that I have. You know, so if you want to get in on the conversation and answer for me, just, you know, hit me in the chat room. Or better yet, give me a call, 347-838-8622. And once you get online, if you want to talk to me, just hit number one. Just hit one on your keypad. Hey, I see you raising your hand, and I'll be right here. We can talk about this thing. And, I mean, because it is something interesting to try and figure out. You know what I mean? No, excuse me. I tell you, I'm having some issues here. Maybe it is the weather today. Because things don't seem to be working like they're supposed to be. All right. I see I got somebody with their hand up already early. Let me see. Bring them in and see what we got on the line here today. Uh-oh. All right. Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
I think the responsibility I mean, it does end to a certain effect, but not totally. And I'm speaking from personal experience.
Okay, you're speaking as a parent or as the child?
Both.
Both, okay.
Both. I mean, you know, there have been times to where when I was grown that, you know, I didn't have a decent view on life. I was immature in a lot of it. And if it were not for, you know, my mom, my dad bailing me out of different stuff, you know, granted, it wasn't necessarily their responsibility to do that, but because they kind of saw something in me that hadn't been realized by me yet. So they kind of helped me through the process until I got, you know, to the place to where I could handle it myself. And from there, all they did was give good advice.
Okay. So, hold on, I'm sorry. Okay, so basically it becomes more than just a physical act. It's more of a like love through advice, you could say, you know, instead of just becoming physical responsibility?
Absolutely.
You know what? I can get with that. That makes a whole lot of sense to me.
I bet you can.
Yeah. that makes a whole lot of sense.
I know you can.
But here's another question I have for you then. So if that's the case, is there any a point, is there any ever a point in the whole relationship to where you just cut that child loose completely? You know, no advice, no nothing. You say, okay, you out there, you made your bed, now you lay in it, and you just walk away. Is there ever a point as a parent, do you do that?
Wow, I'll say there's no clear answer to that. Because, like, I'll give you an example. My mother used to use an expression, if you're right, I'll go with you all the way. But if you're wrong, you're going to stay there and you're going to deal with it.
All right.
And I've been on the receiving end of that to where when I was right, you know, she fought tooth and nail. But when I was wrong, she let me sit there and kind of take my mess.
Okay. All right. And you know what? And that is a very good point. And the question is, when we say take your medicine, But does that mean that she turned her back on you, or did she just let you, I guess, wallow in it for a little bit, but she was there when you really did need her?
Oh, she was there when I really needed her.
Okay.
But it was more along the lines of, I told you this was going to happen, so mm-hmm. you just got to deal with it. Now, for the next time, this is what you need to do.
All right. Okay. In other words, I told you didn't want to listen. So as the old folks used to say back in the day, a hard head make a soft behind. You know, of course,
yeah,
they said it a little rougher than what I was saying, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? As you know, I'm a parent myself, and I do understand. There's really.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am a parent. But I, you know, looking at my 9-year-old son right now, you know, I don't think there is a time where I could actually do that, you know, to just turn my back on. Now, don't get me wrong. He probably would get to the point to where I want to choke him myself, but I can't see to where I would do that. But, of course, you know, in this day and age, there's many parents out there. There are many parents out there that actually have done that with their kids, which is not a great thing. But,
right.
You know, so with that question, what is a parent's responsibility to their child? You know, okay, we know growing up, you know, we have to provide them with, you know, food, water, shelter, clothing, you know, hopefully a little knowledge for them, you know, but once they're out of the house, once they're out doing their own thing, what are our responsibilities to them at that time? Because it does change. You can't say it doesn't. It does change. So what are the responsibilities of the parent then?
I think it's more along the lines of providing wisdom and emotional support. You know, there's after a while, you know, there's not much, you know, a parent can do unless that parent has such a respect level out of that child that even at an older age, whatever they say they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, take instance, I'll give you an example. Like, with my dad, there's certain things, even right now, he can say, you know, I'm probably going to do. But then there's certain things he says now, I'm like, ain't no way in hell.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, experience is the best teacher. And, our parents' wisdom is based on their successes and failures. So, therefore, if there's a success track that you're on, you know, and you're telling me how to do this, that's just like you're not going to go and ask the broke person how to be rich.
Go ahead, man. I'm with you on that. Keep going. Keep going.
You're not
I like
ask
that.
A broke person how to be rich. You're not going to ask the alcoholic how to be sober. Because they failed in that area. So, you know, if I'm in a place or I'm in a season to where, let's say, I'm married, okay, and, you know, if you have 2 or 3 failed marriages, okay, you can't tell me much of anything. Now, you can tell me the don't do's. But
right.
If you're still doing the don't do's, then how can you, you know, I can't really trust your word because your word ain't good enough for you.
Right. In other words, you can't tell me that don't be doing one thing, and my examples are telling you that what I've been doing haven't worked anyway. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah. Okay, so let's twist it up a little bit. Let's take
all
it
right.
for the parent. That a child that's actually has moved away, you know, for some reason has decided to move back home. Now they're under your roof all over again. Does that change the dynamic of the responsibility of the parent or what? Does it? Yeah, that's the question. Does it change the dynamic or the, you know, is it one of those things? That,
I think a parent, they gravitate to this sense of entitlement that you're back under my roof. I don't care that you're grown, you're under my roof. And if you were grown enough, then you'd be out on your own. So since you're under my wings again, you're under my covering, you're under my rule.
Mm.
You know, but at the end of the day, there can never be two kings in one castle.
There can never
be two queens in one castle. So, and once again, I speak from experience. You know, I've been out, you know, fresh out of high school, went and got me an apartment with no kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the job I was, man, that wasn't no, man, that was crap. Anyway, but, so I go back home. Now, I'm used to coming in whenever I choose to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm used to, you know, having a little kibosier under the bed. Granted, I'm only 18, but, you know, so I'm used to doing me. You know, but now all of that, you know, I'm, a little girl stop by, you know, saying, you know, whatever. Hey, you know, now, you know, you can't stop my daddy's house. Oh, that's my daddy, man. You know. And so it got to the point, you know, to where, you know, he was like, you know, if you're going to be grown enough to do the stuff you did in your apartment, you need you another apartment.
You know what, and that is so good. They go through. I love that.
Yeah, you know that. And you know what's going to end up happening is because you think you're a man. You think you're a man. And I'm going to show you that you ain't. I'm going to show you you ain't. You know, I'm talking about, you know, and, you know, you get grown, you know, you get a little older, you get a little kind of slick in the mouth. Not necessarily slick in the mouth, I'm not going to say that, but you kind of speak your mind a little more. And if you know my daddy, he said, who the hell are you talking to?
Hmm.
And then that moment flashed back. Oh, what had happened was. No, that I wasn't talking to you. I thought somebody was behind you.
Oh, Lord have mercy. You know what? I actually can relate to that.
I bet you can.
I actually can relate to that. Oh, my goodness. Now, I'm ready for the twist it up. Okay. Now, you know, we have, as far as parents, you know, we have our different levels or what have you. Now, I know growing up, there were certain facets of our household that may have been different from some others. I know there's others out there probably went through the same thing. But here's the question. Compared to a secular or a non-Christian household, compared to a Christian household, does the parenting responsibility, is the parenting responsibility different or looked upon differently? Or, you know, is parenting, as far as parenting responsibility, is it all the same? It just depends on the individuals that's, you know, involved.
It depends on the individuals that are involved because, honestly, one of the things that I've discovered is that being inoculated with church doesn't make you a better person. And basically, it's the principles of the Bible that the parents should teach the child, not necessarily the religion of the church. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the church. You know, I am a product of the church. I am a church baby. You know, I am a Christian to my heart. However, with my children, I understand that having them in church all day, every day, doing this, doing that, and not providing them some type of secular intertwining, because you can be church all day long, but knowing how to play instruments and speak in tongues and know how to sing isn't going to get you a corporate job.
Wow.
Now, granted. Because you sing and because you play and because you participate in ministry, there is a level of favor that's deposited over your life that for the things that you don't know, the things that you do know will make up for that. But at the same time, I believe that one of the things that even in here, a prime example. Even Jesus was a carpenter. He still worked. He was the Son of God.
But see, now, you brought Jesus into it, and see, now you done opened up a door that I'm about to go into. Okay, so I hope you're ready for this.
I kind of know you, so I'm going to go far with you.
No, you're going to ride with me on this one. You brought it in. Anyway.
I'm sick. I got the flu. I'm supposed to be working.
Yeah, whatever. Don't fool nobody. Anyway, check this out. Here's the question. Now, speaking of parenting, you know, in the case of Jesus, his parenting was, how can you say, a little different than what we're used to today? Because at one point, after he became a certain age, he was gone. And he really didn't have anything else to do with his parents, per se.
Right.
After he rolled out. So if that's the case, and if we use Jesus as an example, well, I mean, the basically what I'm saying is, it's like the Bible said, once you leave the house, that's it. I ain't got nothing else to do with you.
Yeah. Well, no, yes and no. Yes,
yeah, okay,
and no.
Go right ahead,
okay.
Man. I'm listening.
You have to understand. Firstly, you have to understand customs. The customs of that day and time, whenever a Jewish boy reached 12 years old, he was considered grown. Okay, so at that point in time, Jesus being 12 years old, he was a grown man. He began to go about his trade. You have to remember that between 12, there was 18 years of obscurity. Between 12 and 30, he didn't really come on the scene in the Bible till 30. Okay, so in that 18 years is unaccounted for. I was suggesting that 18 years he lived a regular life in preparation for what he was getting ready to do. But we can't speculate on, you know, what happened. It's, I mean, that's what it is. Now, I'll say to you, you know, as it relates to his parents, even though they may have not seemed visible, even when he came back on the scene at age 30, even in his first miracle, when he turned water into wine, he was there with his mother. So that would suggest that his parents had always been a mainstay in his life. It didn't say anything about Joseph after that because 9 times out of 10, what probably happened, Joseph had probably died. But at the same time, you know, all during, you know, Jesus' ministry, his mother was there. She was present. Even so much when he was getting ready to die and, you know, all of that, she was at the foot of the cross. See, and that's the genius of Christian parents. Christian parents, what they do is they become closer to you when they realize that you have an assignment or a calling on your life. They don't push you away and say, go do it. They do whatever they have to do to make sure that, you know, you accomplish what you need to accomplish. Now, I'm going to turn it on you. That's why, shut up. No, I'm not. No, it's not. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it, sir.
Well, you know, it's my show, so it's my show, so you can bring whatever you want to, because trust me, hey, I got something for you. But anyway,
you're gonna flip it anyway.
Okay, so I mean, if that is the case, then, you know, I think I guess there was the example that was set early then, you know,
yeah,
to where, you know. But here's another one. Okay, and, you know, I have people that just throw me questions all the time, so I use them for my show. And here's another question for you. Listen, you got two parents, okay?
Yes.
Now, one parent is actually the biological parent, and the other parent is not, okay?
Right.
So if that in that equation, is the non-biological parent required to show any type of compassion or responsibility toward the children that's not biologically theirs? Where does that parenting responsibility start and stop at, if there is a specific spot?
There is, and it's at basically, it has to start during dating. It has to start during dating, because the fact of the matter is that if you know that you're serious, let's use man and a woman. Man, if the man knows that he's serious about this woman, or the woman knows that she's serious about this man, okay, and it could possibly evolve into something greater than just a friendship, then at that moment they need to sit down and they need to discuss parameters. You know, okay, you know, you're going to be around. You're going to be in my son's life. You're going to be in my daughter's life. So there are some things that we need to talk about, we need to discuss, you know, and there need to be some boundaries. Because at the end of the day, if you're not going to love that child like it's yours, leave her alone. Because that child is an extension of her. And if you can't love that child like you love her, then there's no need to be in bother. Because you knew what you signed up for. You see it. It's clear. And there is no how can I put it? I don't care what you say. There ain't that much conjugation in the world. You know, you see it. It's clear. It's before you. You know, you have to take on the responsibility that's my daughter now. That's my son now. And treat him as such. And that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, you make it sound so easy. So what is So what is the problem with our young parents today then? I mean, because you know, you have some couples to where only one parent can discipline the child because that's not his child, and he better not lay or she better not lay a hand on my child. So doesn't that sort of how can I put it? Doesn't that sort of break down what the actual responsibility of a parent can be or should be?
Well,
I mean, that drives a wedge in the basically what I'm saying.
It does.
Doesn't that drive a wedge in between the parents as far as responsibility? So where does the child what does the child get out of that?
Now,
because now he or she is looking at one parent and say, okay, I know you can't do nothing to me. And the other one, you know, well, I know I'm going to tell my mom, because my mom said, you better not touch me, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you got these issues going on inside the family. So how does that, as far as the family unit, work out as far as responsibility for the parents?
Well, ultimately, Eric, it comes from a deeper place. It comes from the fact of, you're saying this, you're saying, you know, better not touch my child, better not do my child. Number one, what have you saw in that man or in that woman that would make them, that would make you say that they can't touch your child? What would make you say that? What would make you get to that point? Or what has happened to you? What has happened to you in a previous relationship, whether it was with your mother or your father, that someone did you wrong? And now you're saying I have to protect my child. Because if that's the case, if you're looking at your previous relationship, you can't hold that person responsible, and you have to give them the slate and allow them to make their successes or mistakes. And if they treat that child right and they do for that child and they take care of that child, they're around you, man or woman, loving you, taking care of you, okay, take care of that child, treating that child like that child needs to be treated, and they need to have the right to beat that child's behind. That's just the bottom line. Now, if you see something to where they're, you know, they kind of slight your child, or, you know, they don't act a certain, they act a certain way, or they act, you know, they feel a certain kind of way about your child, even little smart jokes, like, oh, he and I ain't gonna get along, she and I ain't gonna get along, I can't do him, you know, we don't do each other. Okay, then I don't do you. Because what you're saying to me is there's going to be issues. And, you know, for a man or a woman with children, that's the plight of dating, you know, and having children. You know, there are ways to prevent it, of course, you know, but, I mean, sometimes in the heat of the moment, nothing can be prevented, if you know what I mean.
Okay, I see. Now, you know, I was on another show last night, and then you know, this question came up where I kind of brought this question up. So I want to see what your opinion is. Here's the question: when in the dating cycle or what have you, as a parent, When should you actually introduce your child to a potential I guess mate, you should say, if you're in the dating, while dating, when should you actually introduce your child, you know, when is, you know, to whoever you're dating? You know, if you really realize, if you're really thinking about getting this individual, letting this individual be a part of your life.
Right. When you realize that it's going to be, and I mean, we're grown, so we can talk. You know, when you realize it's just going to be more than smashing, or when you realize that, you know, that you have certain feelings for this individual and the feelings are reciprocated. If the feelings aren't reciprocated, or you don't, or you know that they're not reciprocated, don't introduce your child to they would be baby daddy. It's going to be your daddy here, and he don't know nothing about it. No, my Florida coming out. I'm getting country.
All righty then. Well, hold on. I think I have somewhere else on the line, so just hold on.
Okay.
Good afternoon, yo. Let's talk. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Joe. How are you doing today?
Hey, Eric, you changed your name. I almost didn't find you.
Duh, Joe.
You went from Eric Jackson, 62, to Mr. Talk.
Yeah. Don't be telling everybody that, Joe. But, yeah, I changed it Thursday, I think it was. Thursday. Yeah.
All right.
So you got me now, huh?
Yeah, I got you. I had to go back a page.
No,
so,
okay.
It's about what, parents' responsibility today?
Yes.
Okay.
When, you know, yes, parents' responsibility. You know, I forgot what the topic was now. Oh yeah, I got somebody else on the other line. That's what it is. When should a parent's responsibility end?
Never. Even when the kid's of age, becomes 21, has kids of his or her own. You bring in children into this planet, right? They were created out of nothing except one's own cells and DNA. The responsibility to make sure that they are on the true and narrow is always up to the person who brought them onto the planet, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not saying that if a kid does something wrong and the parent was a good parent, that the parent should go to jail. But if a parent knows that their kid is about to do something wrong, they should intervene.
Okay. Well, I hope my other caller calls back. I think they didn't drop their call. I hope they get back on the line so we can debate this. Because I asked the other caller that was on the line that is there ever a point in time to where you just say, okay, I know you're my child, but I've had enough. Enough is enough. You know, I only gave you all the wisdom I can. I did all I can for you, but you know, I can't do anymore. I got to cut you loose. Is there ever a point in time where we do that as a parent?
Yeah. I mean, if the kid is really a pain in the ass, I mean, there are very, very few excellent parents on the planet. It's very, very hard to be a parent, but you have to always have balance for the child. And a growing child is very, very young, takes up an extraordinary amount of time. But if the child has grown up, emotional imbalance or maybe some traumas outside of the parent's responsibility that has happened to the child, and that child grows up to be a miscreant or something, and the parent can't do anything with the child and maybe doesn't love the child anymore, 18, 19, 20-year-old, still a child, but now a young adult, and if that parent doesn't want anything else to do with the kid, then cut the kid loose. But if the parent is going to remain in contact with the kid, and especially if the parent, let's say, receives Christmas gifts, and the kid does favors for the parent, then the parent has to continue to give that child good guidance.
Okay. And that's just something that has to be done, right?
Well, yeah.
But yeah. Okay.
Child is it? I mean, look, parents are about 20 years older than the child. They've experienced experiences 20 years sooner than the child. They should continue to give the child the benefit of those experiences if the parent knows how to benefit from those experiences himself or herself.
Okay. You know what? I'm with you, Joe. I'm with you on that. Now, I guess my next question was, I could ask you the same thing I was asking the other caller. They need to hear me call back. But when you have a different, you have a biological parent and a non-biological parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that non-biological parent, is there a certain responsibility that that non-biological parent has?
Well, what
to
type?
That,
I mean, is it an adoptive parent? Is it a stepfather, stepmother? Is it somebody?
Stepfather. Say stepfather, stepmother.
A stepfather. Well, if the stepfather has married the biological mother, let's say, then I think the stepfather and the biological mother should talk over terms about who has the responsibilities for that particular child. I don't think the biological, I mean, the adoptive or stepfather or stepmother automatically takes on responsibilities for the kid. It has to be talked over, because let's say I married somebody who has two kids and her two kids are brats. And I say to the kids, okay, Johnny and Bobby, you got to calm down, and they don't calm down. Now, there's going to be a time in that relationship where Johnny and Bobby are going to need an ass whipping. Now, the mother may not like me doing it, or maybe she may like me doing it, but maybe the biological father doesn't want me doing it. Don't put your hands on my kid, you know? Those kind of responsibilities, they have to be talked over and agreed to, in my opinion, before they even get married.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because that was going to be my next point to bring up, was about, you know, how one parent will tell the other one, well, mainly the woman or the man, you know, that's my child. You do not put your hand on my child.
Right.
You know, yeah, so. And I mean, maybe thinking that was, I was watching Divorce Court earlier today, and that's what the lady said. He does not discipline my kids. You know, and I'm looking like, really? But y'all married, right? Yeah, so there's an issue there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I was telling my other caller, that doesn't that kind of sabotage the other parent's responsibility? You know, when you put something like that out there?
Well, like I said, they got to talk it over. I mean, marriage is not easy. I mean, even if you have a non-marital relationship, that's not easy. People can't read each other's minds. They have to talk over and make clear what it is that they expect from each other. And rearing children is such an important part of the relationship, part of a marriage. You know, nobody's like the goddamn Brady Bunch. Right?
Okay. Right, so the Brady Bunch, yeah, you're right, because nobody just gets along just that perfectly all the time.
Please.
Yeah. You know what, Joe, I agree with you.
I
can't even counterpoint that one.
Yeah, it's like the Clampets and McCoys at times, you know, they want to shoot each other or don't talk to each other, you know.
Okay, all right, but, you know, Oh, yeah, Nancy. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm glad we're on another topic besides women, because I was getting tired of talking about the differences between females and males and how we fuck up each other.
You know what? Okay. Well, here comes Pianki. We may end up back on it.
Nah, he's not gonna go with that mother. I mean, with the male female paradigm.
Okay. All right, hold on. Okay, Mr. Pianki, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, you Pianki.
Hey. Nothing, man. What's happening with you?
Oh, I'm hoping that Hagel gets nominated to Secretary of Defense.
Oh, Hagel? Yeah, because he's against Israel. Or they say he's against Israel. He has fascinating opinions about Israel and Iran. At least he's not a strict neocon.
You know, but Joe, I tell you, some of the things we were talking about is starting to play out, because I think that the U.S. is going to end up dumping Israel, which I think it should do anyway.
Oh, yeah. All of them. We shouldn't be providing foreign aid to any of these countries.
You're right. So what's going on, Eric?
Nothing, man. What you got on my subject today? Does a parent responsibility end?
Oh, parents, when the child, no, the parents' responsibility is only end when the child moves out. The parents still a grand, actually the parents' responsibility is getting ready to come into play when the child is born, because the child is supposed to be put with the grandparent.
Hmm. The child is okay. All right. You know what? You almost lost me.
The newborn child, that is.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. Okay. You speaking of I guess you say in African culture, you know, that's the way they do it there. You know, they take the child, newborn child, and place them in the grandparents' presence up to a certain age.
Yeah, we used to do it here a long time ago amongst us until things began to change. So, yes, the parents still have responsibility. Only here in America did that crazy mess go on. That's why kids put
okay,
their parents
you,
in. That's why
you, sound like, you sound like you're underwater. Get back close to your receiver.
That's why children put their parents in. That's why children put their parents in the old folks' home.
That's why their parents do what? They put their parents in the old
folks'
home.
That's why children shift their parents off to old folks' homes.
Hmm. Okay. And why is that?
Because they haven't been taught not to do so.
Okay.
See,
I mean, I'm just trying to get some clarification. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's all.
Okay, hold on. I got somebody else want to come in. You funny, TBA. Good afternoon. Let's talk. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, Exalted Council? Hey, you called me in. I heard a couple of things, particularly what Joe said, and also what the gentleman said earlier about Christ. Now, I forget mm-hmm. which gospel it's in. He talked about the missing years of Christ. There are no missing years of Christ. It is very clear that he went down to Nazareth with his parents, and he subjected himself to them, talking about the ages between the 12 and the time that he entered his ministry at 30. So there are no missing years, as it were. If you read the text is very clear. He was with his parents. So, anyway, that, mm-hmm. you recall when the guy said that there were missing years between Jesus's when he was 12 in the
right.
temple
mm-hmm.
and when he entered his ministry. Do you recall when he said that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. So there are no missing years. At any rate, getting on to what Joe said, and it was exceedingly comical to me, he said he's glad that you've changed the subject on relationships.
So glad.
Oh. Male-female relationships?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, you have it in stereo now. You have it too far. I only could chuckle at that heartily because you have it. Not only do you see the workings of whatever relationship skills the parents have with each other, also they have to transmit that to their children. So all of those dynamics are operating simultaneously. Do you see that, Eric? You follow what? And I'm sure Joe sees it too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe now that I brought it out. Is this Joe?
No, I'm Joe.
Oh, okay, Joe. Just check it. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out. But a point that Pianchi makes, look, relationships or parenting relationships have a lot to do with the culture. The relationship does change drastically depending on the culture. Now, if you take Italians' kids, the sons live with their mothers even after they get married. The mother takes care of everything. It's almost like it's a never-ending situation. You understand what I mean? In cross-cultural studies, this comes up. And maybe it's not just Italians, but this is what comes to mind. So you can easily see a son 30, 40 years old living at home, mother still doing the laundry, right? You guys recall that?
Wrong.
Wrong?
No.
Okay, how so?
No.
Go for it.
No. Well, what Italian family do you know where there that many mama's boys?
Well, I've seen documentaries on Italian families.
Maybe
in
Italy.
And maybe one would call in, but mothers, and it's not just Italian. I'm just saying that. Other cultures do that also. Now, in America, you have this fierce independency to where kids are supposed to go out and it's sort of like the salmon scenario where the salmons, you know, they spawn in a local pond and they go out to sea and they seek their fame and fortune. They're not supposed to return home, though. But sometimes kids do return home. In the bad economic climate, kids do return home.
Oh, yeah, well, that's been happening, yeah, the past few years here in America, yeah.
Right, because a lot of them have not been able to get jobs.
Yeah.
But I guess the overall American thrust was that kids, once they become adults, the parenting relationship changes. No longer are they being parented per se. Now, they still have a relationship with their parents. And unfortunately, a lot of people have hostile relationships with their parents, believe it or not. But if we just talk about something that we could consider normal, the relationship with the parents should change. And it should be now where they just communicate as adults. And the parents aren't helping the children because they don't need it. They've been parented well, and they've established themselves on their own. Now, that's the way it's supposed to work. But obviously there are different combinations where some kids return home. When I go home, I just, you know, I shared with you guys I took a trip. And, you know, obviously I was welcome to stay in the house, and that was very nice and appreciated, but I didn't do that. I had already made reservations for a room, which was very nice facilities. And I just shared, you know, the me with the parents. No burden, no, you know, just no potential for conflict. Just me showing up, having a conversation, and just enjoying their presence and vice versa. And that's the kind of thing it is. Now, you call them. The minimum one can do is call and talk to their parents. But the parent relationship ended, you know, a long, long time ago. Now, we talk, and, you know, we can advise each other. We act as mutual advisors on things of, you know, of interest. But there's no parenting relationship per se. That's long ended.
No, that's nice.
Excuse me?
That's nice.
Okay, yeah. It's nice is good. What do you think, Eric? I mean,
that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's not about parenting relationships. It's about whether or not the parents had any responsibility once the kid left home. They're
well,
all going to be.
I just said that is encompassed on how well the parents did their job as parents. If they did a good job, their parenting per se responsibilities ended.
No,
the relationship changes dramatically to where now they enjoy, which is a beautiful thing, actually. They enjoy each other's as
individuals. Well, they certainly should. But I think what Eric meant, this is the way I interpret it anyway, is when the kid leaves the house, if the kid gets into trouble or if the kid is wayward, is that parent still going to be responsible in some way for that kid's behavior? Does that parent have a right to intervene, and does he have an obligation to intervene? That's the way I interpreted it. And I'm saying parents' responsibility towards their kids, since the parent brought in these kids without those kids asking, never ends. Now, the parenting relationship after 18 to 21, where, you know, the mother or the father says, well, you got to do what I tell you. Well, no, the kid doesn't have to do what the parent wants. But as you're talking about, Rich, if that relationship is good at the beginning, then that child should listen to that parent. But if that child doesn't listen to the parent and that parent knows that kid is going to continue to be a thug or some sort of crook or some sort of idiot, that parent should intervene.
Well... Well, let's unpack that for a minute, because I think that is quite diverse. Now, and this is not demeaning. This was self-identification. Goofy identified himself as a thug. Now, he may not be super thuggish, but he's still a thug from what, which was a very good show, Eric. I agree with you. That was a great, I listened to the show and enjoyed it archivally, out of the archives. And so, but Goofy, for all intents and purposes, doesn't require parental influence. I think, and I've listened to Goofy before, so maybe I have a little bit of advanced knowledge. Goofy considers himself quite successful. He's his own independent person, even though he is a thug, and I think he still operates, you know, say, although he's probably a quasi-thug with respect to actually being on the street, because he mentioned he's a homeowner. He's normalized his life, and he did it in an alternative way, of course, but nevertheless, he's not in need of assistance from his parents. I think that's the focal point.
Well, we haven't gotten anything from Goofy that says he's making chicks pregnant, but let's take a look at let's say your kid is making females pregnant. Now, are the females also responsible? Sure. But should a boy be, you know, sticking it in and not caring whether or not he's making women pregnant? No, that's irresponsible as well. And I don't know how you would handle it, but let's say theoretically I had a kid who was about 25 years of age, and this kid hadn't grown up, and he's gotten two chicks pregnant. Now, I wouldn't like the chicks trying to trap him, but if he's telling me over Thanksgiving dinner, hey, you know what, Pop? I know this chick down the block, and she likes me. You know, I'm going to say, well, you putting a rubber on this time? He says, nah, I don't know. Whap! The kid 25 years old and not gets the back of my hand. Now, I may not be responsible for the kid, right? He's 25. But he's gonna be known right then and there. Your family does not approve of this bullshit.
Shame on you, Joe, hitting a man like that.
Yeah, I know.
I like that. Maybe not the. I think Joe may be hyper.
I'm not being hyperbolic.
A hyperbolic example, but no, I like. Look, let me. If I didn't, well, let me see. I think I at least expressed this. There should always be contact, not only between family members, but people who can establish relationships, period, because you know ultimately relationships established through non-family members. I mean, that's the way new families are created. But I certainly like the idea of family, and I like the contiguous,
I agree with you on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm agreeing with you, actually. Mm. I like the palpable involvement that families should have throughout their lives. I'm not saying it should ever end. And it changes, but it never. It's kind of like the metamorphosis of a butterfly. You know, it changes, but it's still, you can trace it back to its origin. So I think the love that a family displays, the love, the connectedness, and that sort of thing should always be manifest. But I do think, with regard to the parenting relationship specifically, it has to change. It should change. That's what becoming, what do you call, the age of majority means, is that you become independent of your parents. You're no longer dependent upon them for your basic sustenance and so on and so forth.
What do you mean by the age of majority?
Well, the age of majority is a legal term which is established in, I think, all the states at 18.
Okay.
And certainly by 21. But it means you're able to enter into binding contracts, and you are responsible for your actions once you reach the age of majority. And that's assuming you're not what's the
brain impaired?
I'm sorry, what?
Brain impaired. That's the only reason I can think of.
Use the term emancipated. Emancipated is where you get a court order, a decision that you can be an adult.
Oh yeah, those are
before you reach technically the age of majority.
Yeah, those are interesting.
Yeah, those are always interesting. But I mean,
even at age 18, but doesn't that change the dynamic of what the parents' responsibility becomes then once they are out of the house?
Well, yeah. Now, look here. Let's be candid, okay? Some kids never grow up due to a variety of reasons. Some are bad parenting, and some are just due to the kids themselves, the nature of the child. But I do believe the old admonition or bromide that says, train up a child in the way that he should go, which includes the woman too, and he won't depart from it when he's older. And I think that is a valid proverb, as it were, that if kids are trained properly, if they're trained to be independent, if they're trained to be independent thinkers, they will, adapt those behaviors and manifest them throughout their lifetimes. I think that's what is exhibited by your unofficial counsel, Eric.
Okay.
To make it practical.
Right.
I mean, and we admire that. We admire independence in individuals. Now, Pianchi brings up a notion that's not necessarily American, talking about giving the kids to the grandparents.
Right. Exactly
the way, obviously, that's not the way it works here. I see what he's saying, but I would consider that a double burden on the grandparents. Because, you've heard grandparents, of course, mostly American, but I'm sure some African grandparents would say this too. The grandness of being a grandparent is that you can send the kid home.
Right. Right. That's what they say. That's the best part of being a grandparent.
Yeah. So, and I think that's a double burden on the parents. I think that on the grandparents, excuse me. The parents have raised their children, and raising kids is a responsibility financially, emotionally, and every other way. So I think to dump the kids, now we do that here in America too, but I think it's very unfair to the grandparents to have to raise their children's kids. I think that's exceedingly unfair to them.
Yeah. What'd you say, John? Go ahead.
Unless they can afford it, unless they want it. Yeah. I don't think grandparents should be allowed, not allowed, I don't think they should be expected to raise their children's children matter-of-factly. No.
But, and that's the thing, Joe, though. And some, I guess, some families, that is what is, expected.
Some cultures it is, but the grandparents have probably never really worked that much outside of the home. They only think of themselves as rearers, nurturers, and some of them probably look forward to taking care of the grandkids. They don't have anything to do. Here in America, everybody's busy trying to get a job or has a job or trying to become an entrepreneur. And I don't think there's that much love between parents and children that much anymore anyway. I think there's such a breakdown in the nuclear family that I think parents have a low threshold for kids, and I think kids have a low threshold for parents nowadays. Well, for the last 50, 60, 70 years.
Okay. Please go a little further into that for me. That's an interesting thought.
You want me to explain further, you said, or not?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll explain further.
Yeah, explain.
I haven't seen very many families that are tight knit, that really have a strong core, strong kernel of love. I've seen them stay together for a long time. They have Thanksgiving dinners, they have Christmas dinners, and yada yada yada. But I think traditionally Thanksgiving's the time where you really want to kill everybody. You go to Thanksgiving dinner at your parents or at your relatives or at friends. And their relatives want to kill everybody. I don't think it's there. I think people are so wrapped up in the me, and the getting the gold that I don't think there's much time left for true nurturing. As a result, I don't think parents and children even get along that well anymore.
Wow. Well, I mean, with that dynamic, then that puts a whole different outlook on everything. You know what I mean? So where's the responsibility? Who has the responsibility then?
Like I said, whoever brings in the child. Look, these children have never asked to be put on this planet. They have been created. Those people who created them, just because we can, we do. And just because we do it in the numbers of billions, people think it's no big thing. Yeah, you do it. So what? I mean, yeah. But no, it is a big thing. You don't bring living creatures onto this planet, especially when they're linked back to your lineage. You do it with a very much thought-out sense of responsibility. Can I afford this child? Do I have the time to spend with this child? What will happen if this child is not born, quote-unquote, normal? What happens if I cannot be as good of a parent as I would like to be if for some reason this child is more influenced by peer pressure or by TV than by me? Just because I want a child doesn't make me a good parent. How many parents actually think of it? I mean, that only took me a few seconds to think. But how many parents really sit down and think, should I or should I not? Or let's say, should we become parents? I don't think a lot of people do.
Well, no. You know what? I agree with you. And you know what, Jetto? I think we've had this discussion on the show before. Mm-hmm. Maybe that is something that needs to really happen. You know, no, and I don't think there's many people that actually think about, you know, what kind of parent I would be.
Well, they should. I mean, I just read earlier this morning about Planned Parenthood. I think they performed last year 334,000 abortions.
Wow.
So, you know, people are obviously thinking about it, but when it's too late, like, oh my God, now I got a kid. Well, you should have thought that about that before you spread your legs or you stuck it in.
Okay, hold on. I got somebody else want to come in on the conversation.
Hold on. It's a chick.
No, here we go. Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk.
No, you a girl.
Can I have your name and what's on your mind?
What's going on, gentlemen? It's Goofy Bone. How y'all doing today?
Hey, Goofy. Oh, we're doing fine, Goofy Bone. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wanted to relate on what Joe just said. I think that's his name.
Yeah, it's me.
About not having enough time for kids. I mean, you know my position, and one of the main reasons why I don't have any children, because I know if I have one, I will not have no time for him or her. And, you know, a lot of parents nowadays, you know, they're too busy hitting skins and don't even realize the results. And what pisses me off is that you got, you know, a single mother mad at herself and mad at the kid, like it's the kid's fault that, you know, she has to go through whatever predicament she has to go through, you know. And it just pisses me off that, you know, there should be laws about, you know, all these. Like, I know one guy, he has like 6 babies' mamas. But he don't take care of any of them, you know. He just wanted to hit it and quit it and stuff like that. So, you know, to be a responsible parent, you have to be ready for, you know, that time, that quality. You know, you have to put aside money, because you got to remember, once that baby comes, your life is gone. It's all about that baby. But,
yeah, it reminds me of an adage which I've told my relatives. I said, you know what? Children are the greatest treasure that parents wish they never found.
Damn, that's a good one.
I know, that's just, that is really interesting, Joe.
Yeah. I remember saying that to an aunt years and years ago, before one of my favorite aunts. And, because her kids, my cousins, were giving her a hard time, you know. So it just popped into my head. I said, you know what, seems to me like kids are, you know, the greatest treasure that parents wish they never found.
Wow. So let me ask this question. So, you know, just because someone has a child or whatever, that doesn't mean that they are, well, I can't say that, because once that child comes in, you automatically have a responsibility, correct?
Yeah, let me say this about Goofy Bone, too. This is going to seem like an oxymoron, but it seems like Goofy Bone is a responsible player. He's fucking, but he's not giving birth.
I'm not producing.
Right. Okay. So the people that you're doing it to, they have supposedly a sense of reason. They have choices. They've made the choices. But you're not creating babies willy-nilly. They're not creating babies willy-nilly. So you're not hurting a baby. You may be hurting a chick, depending upon how much truth you tell her. If you don't tell her any lies, then she's hurting herself. But as far as babies are concerned, you're responsible in that department.
You're always responsible. I mean, that's your seed. That's what you created. I mean,
what I mean is that if you didn't produce any kids, you were acting responsibly.
Oh yeah, you know what? Another reason why I don't really want any kids, because I seen the way my dad treated me. You know, my dad, he was hoping that I would be out by 16. He would always tell me, you know, you won't make it to 16. And then he would keep going every year. You know, you won't make it to 21. You know, you won't do this. But, you know, my dad was my biggest critic. And, you know, that was another reason why I didn't want no kids, because I didn't want to be that. Because I know if I had a kid, I would be the same way like my dad was on to me. But, my dad thought that what he was going to do to me, you know, by putting me down, that I was going to be down in the dirt. But I flipped it on him, and that's why I think he always has animosity towards me, because of, you know, I went through my past, my dirtiness, to come out clean at the end, like he always says. And, hey, you know, as long as I'm still doing my thing and enjoying my life, you know, where I don't have to harm anybody, you know, break some feelings once in a while, but, hey, that's life. You know?
Well, like I said, if you're not lying to these chicks, then it's really on them.
Yeah, it is on them. Because, you know, I'm not producing a story telling them, hey, you know, I'm going to be your Prince Charming and you could count on me. Hell no. Right away, I tell them, hey, you know, I'm only out for fun. And, you know, it's up to you if you want to have fun with me. Plain and simple.
I like that. You know what, Goofball, you just said something, and I want the council to touch on this a little bit. So is it possible that as you grow up and you look at the way your parents handled what their responsibility was as a parent, kind of influence you as to how you look at responsibility once you have a kid? Did that make any sense? Hello?
What did you do, drop off?
I guess so. I don't know. What you think about that, Joe?
Well, that's pretty much the same question that you're asking as a topic for the show. So, yeah, like, we bring the kids in, we have the responsibility. Again, I don't think we should go to jail because the kid robbed a liquor store, but, I mean, if it's been found that you've never, ever given the child any type of love. You don't buy the child diapers. This kid has, you know, slept in his own crap, wasn't fed properly, wasn't given love properly, was only criticized. That parent has had a lot to do with shaping that kid's personality. That's the environment meshing with the DNA to culminate in that type of personality. Now, some kids can overcome that. Other kids can't.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, what makes a kid overcome it? Is it like success or is it, you know,
could be
not
luck.
Being what...
Could be a lot of luck. I think, for one thing, to help a kid get out of the ghetto, let's say, or out of poverty or out of a dysfunctional family, that kid should have a lot of activities. In other words, get home from school, do your work, keep out of the way of your mom and your pop if you can, and then you go play ball. There's mentoring clubs, Boy Scouts, go in the playground or mess around with your friends, and if the friends are bad influence, then move out of the neighborhood. If the parents don't move out of the neighborhood, then you yourself go out of the neighborhood and you find a community center, another playground, another Boy Scout troop, another boys troop, or another Girl Scout troop, and you get out. But kids don't know that when they're kids. I think it's mentoring. Mentoring should help. But if a kid has, sometimes a kid just has good DNA, and no matter how rotten the parents are, that kid is going to grow up to be a good kid. And sometimes kids have lousy DNA, and no matter how good the parents are, those kids are going to grow up to be shitheads.
You know, I can vouch for that. One of my friends, he was rich kid, straight up rich kid, like what's that one show? Silver Spoons. Just like that, he got everything he wants from his parents. But yet he wanted to go and be a badass and start robbing people. And all the time, I mean, this guy's still in prison to this very day because he did home invasions and stuff. I mean, the guy had everything.
But that's not good parenting, just when you spoil the kid. If you spoil the kid, I believe in spoiling the kid from parents, but as long as you provide balance. If you can provide balance, if you let that kid know, I'm going to give you anything that you want if I can. But you can't expect the world to treat you the same way your mother and I treat you. You're special to us. But to other people, you've got to earn their trust. You have to earn their respect. But with us, you get what you want as long as, you know, I can do it. And, you know, you've earned my respect too, son. And at the same time, you got to let that kid know, you know what, baby? Just because you're born, you're special to me. And at the same time, again, if that kid goes against mom's and dad's wishes, you know, assuming that mother and daddy are good parents, then that kid gets punished. So that kid has to have discipline and love, a good balance. If that rich kid of yours only got gifts, he probably knew intuitively that he got gifts because the parents didn't want the kid around and they were just trying to, you know, act the role of parents.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me bring Supreme in here. Hopefully his connection is doing good today.
Want to check. Put a check on the line.
Oh, Lord. All right, Supreme, you're on the air. I hope you got your connection together. Go ahead.
Yes, I don't know how.
Obama phone.
Oh, man. Well, what is that? Is that just his headset?
No, he's from England, so he has a bad connection over here.
Well, you guys can't hear me.
No, I can barely hear you.
You guys can't hear me at all.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Go ahead. Go talk. See if you can catch up with your connection. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, I feel that we as people in control of our kids because we're not allowed to give the spanking when, you know, the child hasn't got no boundaries. They're going to be out of control. This is why our kids have no respect for the others.
Okay, Supreme, it's not working, man. It's not working. I'll tell you. I don't know. Hey, you on your landline or you on Skype or something like that?
Skype.
Yeah, you may want to try your landline. You know, because Skype is acting kind of crazy. But you're breaking up real bad.
Yeah, I didn't hear even one word Power said. Oh, Power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, he hung up. He's going to try and call back in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you think DNA has a lot to do with it also?
Oh, yeah.
As far as, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. So actually there's a DNA, there's a strand of DNA that determines whether you'll be a good parent or not.
Well, it's probably millions of strands of DNA that will determine what your personality is going to be like, but it has to interact with the environment. So some kids have a different combination of DNA. They probably can get beat and still grow up to be, you know, so-called productive citizens. And there are other kids who get all kinds of nurturing from parents and probably grow up to be, you know, Charles Manson, even though I think Charles Manson was the way that he was, because I think his parents beat the shit out of him.
Okay. Right, Joe. Okay. Your first show, Joe. You know, I was actually reading an article yesterday where it stated that apparently they have come up with some study that says spanking your children can lead to aggression in your child later on.
Well, those studies are probably skewed. Again, I think it makes common sense. You have to have balance. You know, right. you have to let the kid know, I love you no matter what, but at the same time, you cannot define me. I think kids should fear their parents. Fear them. But at the same time, once the parents are being feared, there's nothing wrong with those parents saying, hey, look, our son's home. Hey, what happened today, Johnny? You know, and then fooling around with the kid, picking up the kid, tickling the kid, giving the kid attention, you know, and then letting the kid go when the kid wants to go and play out in the backyard or play with the friends. Because those, to me, are very healthy kids. I've seen some kids around here, two brats that I know of in particular, spoiled. They curse out the mother in public. The mother buys them gifts and everything, and they jump up and down inside their place.
What was that study? That study was like, you know, if you spank your kids later on, they're gonna have be full of anger or something.
Yeah, anger and aggression. Yeah, you know, yeah. Of course, you know, it was done by, you know, this society nobody really hears about, no ever heard of. But, I mean, you know, like Joe said, you know, studies like that can be skewed, because I know growing up I used to get my behind toe up, and I turned out just fine.
No, you didn't.
No, whatever. But, I mean, you know, I kind of agree with you, Joe. You know, you got to have that balance there. You know,
you
if the kid, you know. If you're not just out there beating the child across the head just because you done had a bad day, then
Well, I mean,
you know,
there's always going to be another study to counter that study. I mean, I'm sure there's a study that says if you're too permissive with your kids, if you allow them to get away with everything, they're going to grow up to be just as bad as the kids who were beaten up and down.
Yes, goodness.
In one case, the kids are very resentful against society because their mother and their father treated them like shit. In the other case, these kids are going to grow up being bored and self-indulgent, and they're going to think that the world owes them a living.
So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, in some cases.
Yeah. In a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who'll be phone? We got about 30 minutes left. Oh, man, you know, I think we done kind of come to the conclusion. A parent's responsibility really never ends. You know, I don't care what kind of parent you are. You still have some responsibility for that child. Goofy Bones, you said you was on Jenny Jones. You know, I got to talk to you. You still there?
Oh, hold on real quick. My Alhambra is here. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Where's Panky? Panky hasn't said anything in a while.
His call dropped. He's in the chat room. I guess he's just sitting there listening. Yeah, he's just listening. I think Mr. Solution, he's sitting in the queue just listening also. So it's just me and you, Joe, for right now.
Oh, okay.
Just me and you.
Any chicks in the chat room that haven't gotten their fat asses on the phone?
Oh, here we go. I don't think so, Joe.
Oh, okay. Just want to know.
I don't see anybody I recognize as far as females.
All right. Like to get the female perspective on parenting, you know, the nurturing syndrome and all that.
You know what? Last night I did invite the girls to come on, you know. I guess they had other things they had to do.
No, they didn't. That's bullshit. They didn't have anything to do. In fact, most women never have anything. They don't have anything important to do. The thing is that none showed up yesterday, and their absence was conspicuous. It was very noticeable. And why do you think they didn't show up yesterday?
Okay, I'm going to say because I was late coming on the air.
No, that's not it either.
Okay.
Women listen, realize this. Women are no different than men. Women listen and lurk, and they have a media, they know what's going on. A lot of times they don't want to come to the light and see this, and you got to realize, when we say that there are very few women that are good girlfriend and good wife material, these are the proving grounds for that realization. They don't show up where they can have open and honest communication. See, they can't manipulate. This show does not allow females to manipulate. There are a few others, but very few. Most shows cater to women. And if you don't cater to women and kiss their asses, they will tend to veer away from you. Although they are the first ones to talk about they want truth, they don't want truth. That's why I encourage men to go to that website, myfreecams.com, is because women whom you would never think that would appear on those shows showing their asses and doing very nefarious and actually filthy and vile things. These women could be with men instead of getting those little trinkets showing their asses, you see? But realize the women who don't do that support the ones that do. See, that's what women have, a very strong network of filth, okay? Very few of them will step outside of that. And that's where men need to blast their asses with the truth, sandblast their asses to excoriate them and get the ones who are worth something to stand up and show themselves. So women know what's going on. They know. Sure they know. They can't be that stupid. Can they?
Some are, just like us.
Well, if men are stupid, they get their asses kicked. Life kicks men's asses. It's like I was saying to Joe yesterday, he was saying he was jaded. By the way, I did look that word up, and the primary fiduciary, the primary impetus is financial, a
it
position
is, yeah.
of power and trust.
Right.
But it also extends to any area where there is an element of trust. Particularly dealing with people who have professional licenses. And it extends to us, too. We have a fiduciary responsibility to tell the truth. But getting back to the point is that, men are expected to perform, to pursue, and pay for equal women, women who have equal ability. That's just like if your boss goes out with you, and that fool expects you to pay for her like she's some little genie off the block. That's bullshit. And men need to call that out. Otherwise, you're both living in the dark. So that's the point. And you never get, Joe, as much as we would like to, I would love to get away from this male-female shit. But we won't. We can't. We're locked in. That's just like saying living in a gravity-free, universe. It's not going to happen. Deal with it.
Yeah, the topic today, though, is parental responsibility.
Yeah, but the underlying reality is still the relationships of the parents. What did we just talk about? We just
I
understand what you're saying, but we just talked about the children will be the primary product of the parental input. And you said it very nicely, although they aren't created out of nothing, that sperm and egg has all the elements of humanness in it. And so the child is going to be a reflection of the parents in the vast majority of cases. Now, the only reason I'm saying it that way is because I believe some of us can choose to rebel against good parental authority. That's called having, you know, they have the will to do that. They have the option to do that, or free will, if you please. But most kids, if they're given good parental upbringing, they will abide by it. And I think our society, although it shows a great element of corruption and decay, at the same time, I think it does express some civility of men and women. We're not just killing each other right now. We aren't all doing what Javon Belcher and Vanessa did. We aren't just, you know, driving each other to the point to where it's kill or be killed. And so, you know, I respect that. I appreciate that.
All right. You see, nobody can break it down like Mr. Solution, I tell you.
God bless that man.
Oh, Lord. All right. What you got to add to it, Goofy?
I can never add anything after Mr. Solution speaks. You can't do that, man. What's wrong with you?
Oh, come on now. Come on now. Go on and get off of that now.
I just want to say that, you know, by being a parent, you have a responsibility. Your life is over with once you create a child. Your life will always be about that child. Now, some parents don't look at it that way. They just think, whatever, you know, it was a love child. I don't give a damn. But you got to remember, how you treat that child affects that child. And all those children are born is to be taught. You know, they're not born with, you know, already knowing what to do. They need to be taught. Now, if you teach them love, they'll show love. But if you teach them hate, they're going to show hate. So it's your responsibility to do what you think is right.
And I hope you do, too. About parents, which piss me the fuck off, is that when parents have this little child from the age of 1 second to the age of 3 to the age of 5, they have had 3 years, 5 years of a golden opportunity to mold this child. When you see children who are influenced by TV or their peers or by authority figures or by school authorities, and for example, in Nazi Germany, there were plenty of kids who turned in their parents to the Nazi authorities because they thought that their parents were disobeying the Führer. What kind of child does that? You should have the influence over the kids. If the kids in school can be influenced by civics classes and by a bunch of teachers telling them about the government and what they should expect out of government, and if you have a bunch of pre-adolescent girls being influenced by neo-feminism, growing up to be the way that they are, and that absolutely means that parents who have the responsibility and the access to their kids 24/7 from the time that child is born to the time that kid goes to school and can't mold that child, that parent is a shitty-ass parent.
Well, based on what both Joe and Goofy Bones said, and I try to look at the essence of things, and of course Joe mentioned what kids are the greatest treasure that no parent wants to discover, or something to that effect.
I love that one.
And then Goofy, and then Goofy pointed out that your life is over when you have kids. Now, I don't agree with that. That should not be the case. But
no, what I meant was, hold on, let me rephrase that. What I meant was your personal life, meaning, like, say, for instance, I was to have a kid. My little player life, it would be over and done with. That's what I meant. You know, I'm not just saying that, you know, you're going to die, you know, right when you have a kid. No, I mean, your personal life that you're living is completely gone because you have to focus on bringing up a child. That's what I meant.
Well, I understand that. I understand that clearly. But, you know, in conjunction with that, you could also say that when two people marry, their lives are over in terms of, you know, their being independent. But I don't think that's the way it should be viewed. The way it should be viewed is you're trading in one type of life for a better life. So if kids are indeed a treasure, and they can be, because all of us have to appreciate somebody had us, and to a degree, we enjoy each other. I mean, I know there are some people who are jerks and a-holes and that sort of thing. But for the most part, I'm thankful for people because they do things for me that would, you know, cause me a great deal of, you know, energy to produce. But so I'm saying there is an overall benefit of people being in society. In fact, studies have shown that we can't live in a stimulus-free environment or an environment without people. We need people. And, you know, the studies that were done with the babies where they fed them but denied.
Yeah, the marasmus studies, yeah.
Excuse me?
The marasmus studies where they had the kids in the cribs and they didn't give them any kind of stimulation whatsoever and they cried themselves to sleep. And they grew up to be numb kids.
Well, actually, in the study that I'm familiar with, right, that could be true, but the kids actually died. The infants died for lack of
human. Yeah, some of them probably did, yeah.
Yeah, they died. But the point is that, and they couldn't do those experiments today. A lot of experiments that they've done in the past, human rights would dictate they don't do those today, and justly so. But at any rate,
a lot of people will be killed.
Yeah, the things that you guys have said, like, for example, you know, if we could vigorously, you know, uphold voluntariness of being a parent, that would create better parents. Because Tom Likas did a show once, and I like Likas. He deals with these issues very matter-of-factly. And what he did is he talked to people who were the children of parents who did not want them, people who were, you know, illegitimate or this kind of thing, or where the woman just had the kid and forced the man, and this, and some marriages where women have kids, you know, the man doesn't want one, but the woman, you know, goes ahead and have one. And, of course, there's a coldness, and there was a real hurt on the part of the kids, having grown up in that kind of environment. So, you know, the best place to slug it out, as I tell you guys all the time, this is the best place to slug it out, to really get all the issues out on the table, and that way have clarity on what's being done. Because if you get in a relationship with virtually anybody, and you start trying to have these kind of discussions, it will destroy the relationship. And rightly so, because no foundation has been established. So this is where we should fight out the issues, iron out the issues, however you want to say it. Deal with the tough issues. This is the venue for it. You can't deal with these issues in your living room. You can't.
Amen. That's all I got to say. Amen. Because it is so true. So true. Now,
yeah, before, Mr. Solutions, I need to get you a temple where you could just start preaching to everybody.
Oh, Lord.
No, we do a good job here. But see, this is the point. Women run away from their necessary essentialness to really having a relationship. When they act so fucking falsely sensitive, and it's all false, by the way, because men bust their asses. When they run away from this kind of tutelage, then they're destined to end up in the kind of crap they end up in. But this is the place they should actually select their men. Now, maybe not Goofy, because Goofy has said he doesn't want your ass except for temporal pleasure, transient pleasure. You're looking for
whenever
a relationship,
it.
And it's
that's
to
all
have men like Goofy. They're normally out trolling, and they're taking care of business. Rarely do they ever stop by on a show. Why? Because they don't need it. Women are fine. Women are great as they are. Goofy never complains about women. I've not heard him complain about women. Do you complain about women, Goofy?
No.
No. Why should you?
Not at all.
You're getting exactly what women are perfect, aren't they?
Not perfect, but I mean, you know, the ones that I deal with, I always hear their problems after sex. You know, it's either the baby's daddy or their current man that they're with, or, you know, whatever. You know, that's the times I get to really get into their brain when, after sex, because, you know, we're all relaxing, lounging, and shit like that. That's when I get to know everything. But as of, I don't know.
I'm sorry. There's another element here, Eric, and I'll just ferret this one out, and you guys can go with it. But see, a lot that Goofy brings to the table has not been extrapolated. For example, how does he accomplish all this fucking and there not be a child produced? How do women not, the women who want him, they don't stick holes in the condom doesn't slip. Now, Tom Likas talked about how he did it. Now, we haven't asked Goofy how many women have had abortions. Right, Goofy, do you mind sharing that? Have any of the women you've been sport fucking with had abortions?
Just one, but I don't even think it was mine, but she claims it was, so.
Okay, she had an abortion?
Yeah, she had an abortion because she knew my life. Well, I was screwing her a lot. I took her from some other guy. Now, the other guy raw-dogged her throughout their whole relationship. Now, me, I hit it maybe four times. Rubber, nothing came off, you know, whatever. But, you know, for some oddball reason, it was blamed on me. So, whatever, you know, there's no proof. It never came out, so I can't say it was. But, you know, as of asking the question, that's your answer.
Yeah, but she had an abortion, though, right?
Yeah, she had an abortion, yeah.
All right, so see, these are other areas that haven't been explored when we just say Goofy doesn't have any kids. The other thing is Goofy could be sterile. We don't know that, but he could be. And see, that is the reason that when you study Roe versus Wade, which I did, it was enjoyable reading. You had everything there, as you usually do in many of the court cases. But the reason they gave women Roe versus Wade is so that women would have an ultimate defense of their liberty against being forced into parenthood. That is, they could have the ultimate, which was the abortion. They had all the other measures, you know, abstinence, the best birth control, they could give it up, you know, for adoption, all of that sort of stuff. They had that. But the ultimate weapon against involuntary parenthood was an abortion, and we only allow that to women. Okay, so with guys like Goofy, and see, this is what pisses me off at some guys, not necessarily Goofy, but some guys. When they say they haven't had kids, it's all fucking luck. It's all luck. Because the thing of it is, now Tom Likas says he's had four abortions, right? But what he did is he had a discussion with all the women to make clear that if they got pregnant, they would have an abortion. Now, he at least did that. But guys like Goofy who do – see, what I'm saying is there's no ultimate prevention, certainly that a man has, if he has sex with a woman. There's no ultimate prevention against a woman becoming pregnant. Okay? So we need to admit that any man who hasn't had kids, it's part luck. It's part luck. Because the way things are structured trap the man. That's the way things are actually structured, is to trap the man's ass. And the reason this is germane to the conversation is because a lot of times when parents have kids, they didn't want to be parents. That makes an important that's an important aspect of the equation. That's the reason I'm bringing that out. So any man who hasn't had kids Also, realize that you've been very fortunate. It's not all on you. You're a liar and a fool if you think that that is the case. What do you say?
Well, I think a good man who knows how to put on a rubber and it'll take the 5 seconds to put it on properly, that's what stops it.
That's not what stops it, Goofy, because if you read the effectiveness of a prophylactic, it only has about 80% effectiveness when used properly. Is that correct, Joe? Is that in the ballpark?
But then when you add spermicidal 9, that kills all the sperm that shoots out. I mean, obviously, you know, you're taking the proper steps to stop in that, but you're having your fun at the same time.
Yeah, but if you look at that, why didn't, if all of that is so secure and sure, why did we need Roe versus Wade to allow women to get abortions? Why?
Because they have a hidden agenda. That's why.
Well, what is it? Say what it is. Don't leave it hidden.
Because the man probably didn't want to have kids with a woman. It's just like King James added divorce into the Bible because he wanted to divorce his women. Henry VIII.
Well, I think a responsible people who want to have kids just do it and do it right. You know, the idiots who just have it, be responsible. You know, you had a child, you know, the kid can't be, you know, ignored. You know, you're having a kid. You know, he has feelings, he has a heart, he has a soul. You know, at least try to put your good into that kid to let that kid fly off to live a great life. But see, people don't look at it that way, and it sucks.
Look at this. On one of Lycus's shows, the dad told the son, and this came from the son, by the way. He told the son, I didn't want you. Now, I think that's a cruel thing to say. I don't believe in saying cruel things to children, actually, anybody. But I think that's a very heart-wrenching thing to say to a child that, you know, the parent didn't want it. But that was the truth, though.
I just think when you're going down that route, you need to be responsible. That's
what
you
say about a man needs to be responsible, but that's a bunch of bullshit. A man, if having a child is the ultimate, it should be voluntary. It should not be compelled. So just saying a man should be responsible without looking at the one who has the ultimate power is a little bit lackluster. Well, it's a lot lackluster.
Well, the man has the ultimate power because, I mean, a woman can't have the baby by her own. You know,
that's
the guy
not,
needs to shoot it in order to produce it.
I'm glad, Goofy, you haven't been on very much. Have you heard of artificial insemination?
Yeah, look at that guy who has to pay the lesbians child support because of that.
Okay, that's right. We'll probably talk about that. But the point of it is, if you look at the Octomom, you know, where the doctor assisted her in birthing, about 8 kids at a time. Octomom, right, 8.
I think 6 at the first one and then 8 at the next one. But
right, but
sorry.
Even if it's 1, what I'm saying to you, your argument doesn't hold up because it didn't take a man there. It was a woman, her doctor, and science that produced the child.
Okay, wait, now I'm confused. What are we arguing about now?
Well, we're just talking about kids who are here who don't want to. We're not arguing. We're just making points.
Well,
kids who one of the underlying reasons for some lackluster parenting is the parents didn't want the kids. That's that's the reason that you have poor parenting.
True.
Well, look at Octomom. Look at Octomom. She wanted to have kids so she could be in the spotlight. Now look at her. She's so desperate. She was over here saying, oh, I'll never do pornography. Now she's over there doing pornography.
Now, how do you think those kids will grow up?
Oh, my God. Those kids, I would love to see the reality show on those kids growing up.
Well,
you know what they should do? They should either make those kids a band or some sort of a musical group. If not, split them up.
What they should have done at the outset, if society was not a fucking pussy, They should have taken, confiscated all those kids under the rubric of in the best interest of the kids and adopted those kids out, loving parents, two-parent households, probably. But get those kids away from that maniac. Would you agree with that, in the best interest of the kids?
You can't say the government's pussies.
Excuse me?
I don't think the government's pussies.
I couldn't even. Anybody? The rest
I can't even.
Has agreed that those
well, I don't
kids
even know why. I don't even know why, you know, child services didn't even go over there and take some of those kids. You know,
because they're pussies. They're scared of women. They're scared of the outcry.
No, what pisses me off is that, you know, I used to sleep with a Section 8 chick who had her kids taken away because she was downstairs doing the laundry and she fell asleep, at, you know, downstairs at the laundromat, and one of the kids knocked at the neighbors and you know, said, "Where's my mommy?" You know, that the child services took her kids away for that. And you're telling me that a house full of a bunch of toys and, you know, where these kids just sleep like a bunch of homeless Mexicans, you're saying that the child services aren't going to take these kids away?
Damn right. And the reason for it is you have to understand, and I'm sure you'll understand this when I explain it, because you are familiar with the political process. They will do it in isolated instances, but they don't want to take on the public outcry of women. That's what they don't want. So it's like F kids. They don't care about kids. It was never about kids. It was about the women and the people who can profit off of them. That's what child support and all of this represents.
But, Mr. Solutions, I didn't even see any women that were backing this fucking freak. These women were talking down upon this woman, saying that how dare her play God with the doctor trying to create all these kids that she can't even afford.
Yeah, but
I
you
mean,
would be amazed.
Seriously.
Those termites will come out of the woodworks if they take those kids, because see, that's a woman's power. That's the way she can leverage to force a man into paying child support and alimony. Which child support is alimony. It's backdoor alimony is what it is. So if the system would hold women accountable in the best interest of the children, that would take away women's power, and that's what would cause the outcry of women. Women would never stand for the kind of treatment that men receive. Women are the greatest non-payers of child support. Women are greater deadbeats than men are. Now, you probably don't hear about that. You would have to look that up. But women who are assigned child support pay it less frequently than men do. Now, you didn't know that, did you?
I'm not in that court. That's why I put a rubber on, so I can avoid those situations.
Well, it's not about being in the court. This is knowledge. I work with men's groups, and also I do research.
I have a lot of friends that pay child support.
Okay.
And so,
but what I'm saying
story.
Is women pay women default on their child support at a greater percentage than men do. Did you know that?
Well, no. One of my friend's baby's mama, she was a junkie. Shot up heroin every vein she found. But yet the court said that since she went into, one of those little church groups where she's changing her life, you know, she's only been in there a week, they granted the kid to her. Even though he was been at his job for more than 10 years, he had his financial things all in secure, everything in place. He was perfect. But yet, she went with the mother because the mother was the one who's going to show that child more love than the father. That's what the judge told my friend.
And that's garbage. See, they have to do it that way to keep the system running and to keep women in power. Like, for example, if the man wants to take the child, he has the most money, he's the better responsible financial parent, the better financially responsible parent. The judges often will still take the child from the man, give it to the woman, and make the man pay the woman. What kind of shit is that?
All right. You know what?
Well, we're going to end it right there because y'all getting kind of on the show for tomorrow. See? So we're going to end it right there. Because the title of the show tomorrow, Child Support, Should a Sperm Donor Pay? So, yes, y'all getting all into my show tomorrow. So.
Oh, we're sorry. We're sorry. We're trying to treat the audience with if they listen to this archive, they're going to be ready for the next one, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and these roles are definitely connected, by the way.
Exactly. All right, Mr. Solution, your final say on it, on the show, your final say about the topic today?
You broke up a little bit there. Yeah, great show, and I look forward to chatting it up tomorrow.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. All right, Mr. Bones.
Great talking to you guys, Joe, Mr. Solutions. I'm not a parent, but I mean, you know, to all those parents out there, you know, your kids look up to you. So please be responsible and show them the goodness of you. You know, keep the badness of yourself, but I mean, show the goodness because everyone has good inside of them, as Darth Vader.
All right, Luke, I am your father. Okay, cool. All right, thank you, man. Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, y'all. Ooh, another great show today. The topic was that right? Okay. Anyway, the topic was, when does a parent responsibility end? And basically, it never does. It never does. You know, if you're a parent, you bring that kid in, that's your responsibility. I don't care what you say, who you are, or what you believe in. You bring them here, it's your responsibility. Now, some of us are good at it and some of us not. I mean, that's the realness of it. But regardless, you bring that child here, yeah. And you know what's so bad, though? Sometimes the child actually has to take responsibility for the parent, which should never be, but I guess it's the way things work, right? So, yeah, so let's work on that, people, okay? All right, now, once again, you know, I'm about to get up out of here. It's a rainy day. Hey, I got to do something, right? All right, just remember later on, you know, when you get home, give that someone a hug, kiss, tell them you love them, you appreciate them, and, you know, make sure everything is cool. You know, make sure you know what's going on with them. Because you never know. You never know. Sometimes, you know, you want them to be there, they won't be. And it's going to be all sad. Trust me, I'm telling you. I know these things personally. Well, until then, see y'all tomorrow, same time, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, when the topic of the show will be Child Support, Should a Sperm Donor Pay? Until then, I'm out of here.